Now, work and study can be stressful, but they can have an even stronger impact on your mental health if you're working in the wrong areas. Gerald Matthews from Matthews Architects joins us now to discuss. Good morning.
Morning. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Now, let's begin with what can make a good workspace environment?
A lot of it has to do with resonating with natural biorhythms. And that sounds like a sort of soft and fuzzy way of saying, you know, get in touch with nature. It's a lot deeper than that. Something's fundamentally changed between, you know, the era when people worked during the day and then went home at night and you didn't have a choice of what to do at night because it's going to be dark. And then we invented candles and then gas lights and then electric lights. And now most of us probably stare at an LED screen for a little while before we go to sleep. And I'm sure you've caught yourself like on the verge of sleep, but checking your phone for the last time. This is exactly one of the reasons that phone companies have now built in color shifting into screens. If you haven't discovered this in your phone, go hunting in the settings. There is, in most modern phones, a setting to actually shift the color towards orange as sun sets. And the reason for that is supporting a healthy biorhythm. And there's a term for this now, which is called sleep hygiene. That's part of it. Good, like healthy sleep is vital to human health. One of the reasons for that is there's only two things people ever enjoy, serotonin and dopamine. And sleep is really important to the production of, you know, healthy chemicals that keep you happy. So if you don't have the chemicals that are going to keep you happy and if you can't support the biorhythm that's going to create those chemicals, it's harder to be happy. From a spatial point of view, that's what really fascinates me in terms of design. So one thing is natural light. This is also connected to biorhythms, the idea that you can see the light shift throughout the day in brightness and color and direction. These are the things that make us feel a bit more connected to the outside. So if you have to work inside all day, a view to the outside is really important to human happiness. And human happiness, you can tell your boss this, is fundamentally important to productivity. It's very hard to be productive unless you are comfortable. I'm sure any student's probably aware of that. If you've tried to study when you're uncomfortable for any reason, it's very hard to concentrate.
So is this something that that you practice yourself? Is this how your workspaces look?
We've gone to a lot of lengths to try and modify our workspace to capture a better connection to the outside. So our drawing office holds 18 people in it, and we have a first floor view that looks straight into the canopy of a large Moreton Bay fig tree. The fig tree captures the light throughout the day. It sort of faces south. So we basically see the light transition throughout the day reflected onto that tree. That has a huge impact on the office. Firstly, it keeps the light level in the office fairly balanced, but it also allows everyone in the office to sort of perceive without looking at your watch. Is it morning? Is it afternoon? Your brain picks up on these cues, and these cues are very important to human expectation. Light's just one of them, so another is sound, and everyone responds a bit differently to this. I know when I am studying intently or working intently, the sound that I choose to surround myself with has a huge impact on how successful I am at what I'm doing. So if I'm trying to design, I almost always need music. If I'm trying to write, I almost always need instrumental music. And if I'm trying to think really carefully and methodically, I almost always need silence. But I think everyone's a little bit different there. You've got to sort of test yourself and do some experiments and figure out what works for you. It's I think, quite a modern phenomenon of media consumption that we build this expectation into ourselves that multitasking is an important skill and that we should be able to, you know, watch a movie in the background while we're writing an essay. And fundamentally, it never really works. It will take you five times longer to write the essay, and it probably won't be as coherent. It's no different in a working environment. If you're trying to do something with something in the background that is demanding part of your attention, it's harder. But a lot of that has to do with the enjoyment of what you're doing. You're trying to sustain a minimum joy level while you're working on it. So if you could derive the same amount of joy that you're deriving from, you know, a movie that's on in the background to keep you company while you write an essay, from something that's not attracting your attention, And an example of that would be location. So instead of writing your essay, you know, sitting at a desk, or instead of me working on designs while I'm sitting at a drawing board, if I could take a tablet and sit in a park or sit by a river, and it's an environment that's stimulating, it's enjoyable to be there, you know, if the weather's good, but it's not demanding part of my attention. There's nothing happening that I must follow. There's no narrative that, you know, insists that I pay attention.
So on that idea of multitasking and sort of negative ideas for creative thinking and for positive thinking, can like a poor workspace be detrimental to your mental health?
Absolutely. If you wanted to design a space to poorly impact someone's mental health, you'd probably look at prisons designed in the 1890s. You know, they're essentially a black box. Yeah, they're designed to make you feel inhuman. If you want to look at poor design in terms of workplace mental health, you'd probably look at cubicle design from the 1980s or 1970s. That idea of you're creating a small little defensible space within a larger office. You're connected through a city street network of corridors and passageways, but you're isolated. So most modern work environments are built around the idea of connection. So study, like work, shouldn't necessarily be a disconnected activity. You should be able to do it within a social setting, and figuring out how to manage the peripheral stimulation is just part of that challenge. One of the ways, take earplugs and sit in a cafe, or headphones and listen to instrumental music while you sit in a cafe. All of these, technology sort of makes these things a little bit more manageable than they used to be. And most education institutions have truly caught up on this. And in Adelaide, we're kind of fortunate that most of our educators here are well in advance of what's necessary for good learning. Now, that goes all the way from primary through to tertiary. The idea that good learning, requires lack of stimulation, lack of connection to external environments, those ideas are truly long gone. The important thing for students these days when you're designing a learning environment to keep people happy, engaged, productive, is not, positioning windows at high level so they can't see the outside. It's to do with letting in natural light, letting people have a view and a connection to what's happening outside. Because, again, like a cubicle in a 1980s office, if you feel disconnected from your context, it's very hard to be happy. And if you're not happy, it's very hard to be productive.
I'm speaking with Gerald Matthews from Matthews Architects about how to make workspaces better for your mental health. Now, say, for example, you have some power in an office, you're in charge of some people. Are there simple things you can do without having to redesign the whole office to sort of make it a more positive workspace?
Yeah, there's a researcher in America called Dan Pink who's, I guess, more of a popular writer than a researcher, but his papers are quite good. And a longitudinal study he did, he published a little essay that said that there are only three things that will motivate people to do better. And money's not one of them. He said money's a threshold issue. If people are undervalued in terms of money, then they become stressed either because they don't have enough resources to sustain the lifestyle that they feel it is relevant to their context. And likewise, he said, if you pay them too much, then they worry about what to do with their money. But he said the three things that really matter to people in terms of productivity are mastery, autonomy, and purpose. And so mastery is you want to feel like you're good at something or that you're getting better at something. Autonomy, you want some choice in how you do it, where you do it, and the method that you use to achieve what you're doing. And purpose, you want to feel like what you're doing actually matters, that there is a meaning to it. So as a leader of teams or as an employer or as an organizer of a workspace or as a team member within a workspace, it's worth giving careful thought to those three things, mastery, autonomy, and purpose. One of the ways that modern workplaces are creating autonomy is by giving people choice of work environments. So during a normal working day, you might have to do all sorts of different things. Most jobs are not homogenous, you know, one thing after another. Production jobs sometimes, but even they have, you know, a significant degree of variety. Most people's workday is not comprised of one repeated task. So if you have choice about where is the most appropriate context to perform each of those tasks, if you can make them mobile, you know, you do one thing in a cafe, then you go to a meeting room, and then you sit down with some other people and do another thing. If you have autonomy about that choice, it really does help both productivity, because you're going to choose a context that's more conducive to an outcome. But it also gives you a greater sense of control over the way you do things, which elevates your sense of autonomy.
Well, there's a lot of great things to consider there, particularly if you're maybe feeling a bit stifled or unhappy in your job.
One of the tricks I use as a designer is if I'm stuck, which it, like design block is kind of like writer's block. You're trying to solve a problem or come up with an idea. It's a very similar thing. One of the things I quite often do is either change medium or change location. So, you know, instead of working at a drawing board, I'll go and work at a meeting table. Instead of working there, I'll work at a cafe. Or instead of working there, I'll work at home. The other thing is changing medium. So instead of typing on a keyboard, I'll pick up a notepad and pen. Or instead of doing that, I'll go and work on a whiteboard. Or instead of that, I'll pick up a dictaphone. So that idea of change the medium that you're using, if you can, and change the context that you're doing it in, if you're stuck.
Well, Gerald, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Always a pleasure.
Gerald Matthews from Matthews Architects, speaking about the ways in which you can make your workspace have a positive impact on your mental health.